O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Holy cow, Terry. It's that time again.
Yeah, it's the week goes by fast when you have fun, Jack.
This is the O'Reilly ASA Late Model Series Fast Lane. Not to be confused with any other late model series. Or sanctioning body. And also just a little disclaimer, Terry, at the top of the hour. This show is a production of Real Racing USA. And we are not affiliated in any official way with the ASA Late Model Series. We just love it. And we like to, and we like talking to the drivers and the people involved in this series.
Well, I understand the quote. And it's not going to deter from any excitement or spice that we're going to have on this racing show.
Yeah, I can't wait to spill the beans on how Jimmy Lang, how he found some girl in the grandstand. It helped him set the fast time out there, I'm telling you.
Well, when he comes on, we'll talk to him about that.
Yeah.
But we have a young man I'm not familiar with. I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions about his background and past. But we have David O'Dell on the line with us. Jack, welcome to the show, David.
All right. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cool. Did you have fun down there in Bronson, David?
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. A little bitty quarter mile stuff. Kind of used to starting out in quarter midgets and legends cars, you know, real tight tracks, so kind of beating and banging. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but when you beat bang, David, you have to fix the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, beat and bang, then, you know, of course, us here, we don't have a lot of money. Of course, we fix the thing, so we kind of beat and bang the right way. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun. We kind of, you know, save the car throughout the race, and about the last 20 laps, we turned it up a notch, and it's really quick, and unfortunately, we got a little fender bender there in the last lap, but, oh, well, it happens, it's racing, we, you know, life goes on, and we fix it and move on to Sonoma.
Well, go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, early in the race, you know, David was up there, you were in the second spot, right?
About third,
yeah, and you know, he got hung out on the outside there at Bronson, which sometimes happened, and he lost a whole bunch of spots, and it was funny because for the longest time he had guys like Jimmy Lang beating on his bumper. Then in the end of the race, there in the last closing laps, the whole thing was reversed and turned around, and. David O'Dell's up front. He's beating on them guys, and next thing you know, he's got the lead. And it looked for a minute there like you were going to take that win, David. What happened in the last lap there? How did it all end up that you ended up spinning down into turn one?
I don't know. I was starting off with you know, I was riding behind Jimmy, just, you know, because it was, everything was just so slick. You know, the race, it's, we weren't going to get under him, and he went into turn one and slipped and turned out under him, beat a little bit, and took the white, went into turn. Next thing I knew, I was turned around. Then somebody came across the nose, and somebody got in the back end. And what happened was when the guy came across the nose, the radiator box pushed against the radiator and closed the airflow to the radiator. So, of course, therefore, the water temp started going up. And when they put us back in the lead, we got the green, and when we got the green, the water temp was about 270, 275 degrees.
Oh, my.
And what we think would happen is, because it was so hot, the water hose or the water pump started working its way off. And when I went to when I went into turn one, it just, the right front tire just did not grip at all. We believe that there was a little bit of water kind of sputing on the right front tire. And then it did the same thing when I went to turn three. You know, after a couple guys got by me, and then when I came off of four, that's when it popped off and whipped sideways on me. But, oh, well, it happens. You know, it didn't hurt the motor or anything, thank God. But you know, we'll just take it and go on to the next one.
Well, I talking about bad luck, but short track racing is at its finest at Bronson Motor Speedway. Wouldn't you say that, David?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just one groove racetrack, diamond turn one and two, you're on the apron, and three and four. It's, you know, it's a really, really interesting place to race. It's, you come off of turn four, and it is pretty much you can't hold the car down at all. You come off, you just let it slide all the way up to the wall, and you, when you get into turn one, it's just like the wideness of the track just gets cut in half. All of a sudden, it seems like the track's about 10 feet wide,
mm-hmm.
and it's just nowhere to go but follow the leader through one and two.
Right.
Yeah, some of the guys like Wayne Morris and some of the guys that raced around Florida for years and years, they were saying the other day that, you know, it's all about being able to turn off of that corner down in one and two.
Oh, yeah, and of course, I learned from Travis Cope and Wilson and all them, and you know what they were doing through one and two versus what I was doing, and you know it was, you know, I started doing what they were doing and picked up time. So,
yep. Yeah. So now you're from Georgia. When did you start racing? And well, tell us a little bit about your how you got to this point.
I started racing when I was 10 years old. In 1997, ran quarter midgets over here, Metro Atlanta Quarter Midgets Association, and ran quarter midgets from 97 to 99, and then got into Legends cars and ran them for about 2 years, 2000, 2001, then got into Southern All-Star Trucks. And we ran them for a while, and then we decided, hey, let's try a late model. In 2004, we built a late model in a little two-car garage, and been doing it ever since. Done some stock car stuff, some Arca and Busch Series stuff on here and there, and just run whatever you can.
And what is your goal, David? May I ask how old you are?
I am 21.
Okay, what is your goal? I mean, everybody says NASCAR, and you know,
everybody can say, you know, everybody wants to go to the Nextel Cup. I mean, you know, go figure. But bottom line is you got to be happy and you got to go as high as you can, because it's the way this sport works nowadays. It's, there pretty much is no all of a sudden you go to the racetrack and, you know, let's say Tony Stewart sees you and gives you a cup ride. They're pretty much, that doesn't exist anymore. It's pretty much whoever goes there, whoever gets the sponsor, you got to bring your money to the table and got to go forward. Pretty much my goal is if I stay, you know, ASA racing the rest of my life, I'm happy. As long as I'm racing, it doesn't really matter where I want to go. But, I mean, if I make it to Cup, that's kind of a bonus.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that answer. Hey, Jack?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we hear every once in a while you talk to somebody who, like, really is realistic, and it's absolutely true. I mean,
right?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with dreaming and trying to accomplish big goals, but I'll tell you, that's like, you know, there's a zillion people that go to Hollywood to be a movie star, and like, you know, one out of a zillion make it. It's kind of like that with NASCAR, and you know, it's like we always say, the best 43 guys are not out there racing on Sunday anyway. The best guys are racing around the country, and you know, there's probably, you know, maybe a couple dozen, maybe at the most, that of those guys are really the best, because there's a hell of a lot of good race car drivers out here, and then there's people in the Cup that, you know, aren't as good as a lot of guys we see all the time, Jerry. So,
yeah,
I think David's. I think David's.
David speaks the wrong language. I mean, they're hiring people from Colombia or Ireland or. They're not even from America anymore.
And I'll tell you again, David, when you ended up down in turn one, the scene is this, Terry. David's sitting down in turn one, kind of in the grass. His car pointed the wrong way, I believe, if I remember correctly. And, you know, the winner is in the winner's circle going through all the stuff. And David had the lead one lap before that. And it was a very class act for you to walk all the way down there. There's a lot of things you could have done at that point. You know, you could have just went back to your pits. But for you to walk all the way over there and congratulate Jimmy Lang, and I was standing right there, man, and it was very sincere. And I tell you, that was a class act, and I will always remember that about you. That was just that was one of those things that is a class act.
Yeah. And that's one thing of course, my dad taught me was, you know, for one thing, if I did do something, I got to go back in the pits and deal with my dad. So, you know, it's, of course, we're really underfunded, and it's, you know, because I paid for my helmet. I don't want to throw it and crack it and buy another one. So, because that would be another $800 I'm out of money. Right. So, and, you know, it's just the way I've been taught. You know, it's like, you know, don't get mad. I mean, if you do get mad, make sure there's nobody in sight, you know, and punch the wall of the trailer or something. But it's just the way I was raised. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. What position did you finally ended up with?
I think we ended up 10th.
Yeah, I think it was 10th.
Yeah.
10th.
Somewhere, but, I mean, it's good. It's, you know, part of my main goal was for the weekend to get a top 10 just in case. You know, we go to Sonora, Cordial, or New Smyrna. If there was, you know, 40 or 50 cars show up, we have a automatic provisional lined up for the race. So.
And that was the most exciting. I mean, I went to a lot of ASA Southern Division races last year. That race at Bronson last year, or the last week, was by far the most exciting race that we have seen. And everybody that I talked to said the same thing. I mean, everybody was walking around shaking their head or scratching their head. You know, it was like, wow.
Yeah. Somebody had something going on. But, yeah, there was, I mean, about the first half, it was kind of boring. Then all of a sudden, it was about the last half. It was like everything just started happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was like, then we went towards the end there, about the 15-lap run, then 10 to go. It was like caution after caution. Then last five laps, it was, you know, holy heck, watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've talked about it. I think part of it was just the combination of drivers, Terry, that was there.
Right.
In some races last year, it could have happened that same way. But the guys were a little more, and, you know, you could say they were more patient. I think they were just more conservative. I think there were some guys in this race right up front, five guys that really wanted to win that race.
And you know what, Jackie, you were talking about the car count before the race, during practice and everything. You know what? I mean, it was 19 cars, but it ended up being one of the most exciting races that you ever seen.
Well, and anybody that's been around Bronson will tell you, 19 cars, 19 late models like this at Bronson is enough.
Right.
10's enough.
There you go. You might have something there, David. That's a tough one. And so now you're going to the next race, Sonoya, is that right?
Yep, Sonoya, Georgia, I believe April 18th or 19th.
Now, you're familiar with that place, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been there a couple of years, so we got a lot of high hopes going in there, so... hopefully we can do well.
That's a pretty fast track. It looks like you run that one pretty wide open, huh?
It's close to it. Even though it's, actually, it's kind of, the way the track is shaped and everything, it's similar to Bronson. It's just a 3/8 mile.
Yeah.
No, the surface is the same. You run the apron, you know, up against the wall all the way around the track. Really narrow. So it's a... tire maintenance place. Pretty much whoever saves the right rear tire the best is going to win the race.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I gotcha.
One of them, it's like a Pensacola or a Peach State or somewhere around here. So it'd be a good show.
Cool. All right.
Well, you know, David, I know a tire softener company that could help you out on saving
the
tire.
Terry.
Oh,
Terry.
All right, we're on the air, aren't we?
Terry. Good grief. Sorry, David.
That company too, huh?
I'm sorry?
You know that company too. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that was
David.
Well,
we're
cool.
Going to have to scoot along here. Well, you got some of your colleagues coming on, Jimmy Lang and Blake. What's his last name, Jack?
Blake Lear,
and also Chad Pierce is going to be on the show tonight. But we're certainly glad to have you on the show. I believe this is the first time you've been on our show, isn't it?
Yep, this is the first one, and hope to be on a couple more.
Throughout the summer, I'm sure you will be.
You probably will, and thanks a lot, David. Nice meeting you this weekend, and good luck up at Sonoya. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye, David.
All right, Terry, I'll tell you what, man, let's just get her going there. Who are we coming back with? We're going to take a quick break here.
I think we're going to have Blake back on next, and then Chad Pierce, and then Jimmy Lang called me and said, could he be on last?
Yeah, he doesn't want anybody stealing his thunder. That's all that's about.
He was riding a bit. He said he was driving a big rig as we spoke.
Yeah, and by the way, before the show's over, we will have a few words about the upcoming ASA Late Model Series Northern Division going into Toledo Speedway.
Toledo.
April 11th to 12th. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, welcome back to this edition of the O'Reilly ASA Late Model Fast Lane Show. I'm Jack Smith, along with Terry Wall, and we bring you this show every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. here on Real Racing USA. And, Terry, are we hooked up here?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We have our next guest on here, and I don't know him again. I don't know Blake. He was at Bronson Motor Speedway.
You got the Learjet? You got the Learjet cooking.
Lear. That's it, Blake Lear.
The Learjet, man.
How you doing?
How you doing, Blake?
Doing great. How are you?
Now that you gave me that information, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll get that after the show with that phone number from you, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, we're talking about Greg Stevens, Jack, a cohort of mine when I lived in Florida. When I did the radio show down there, he was a co-host of the show.
I remember.
And Greg does Blake's super late model motors.
Yeah, Greg does a great job on all my super late model motors, and I told him I was coming on the show with you tonight, and he said you guys are old buddies.
Yeah. He used to call me T-Bone.
Yeah.
And that's great. Why did you tell me he knew Greg, Jack?
I did not know that Blake knew Greg or Terry. I would have I would have certainly told you.
I certainly know.
Blake, let me say this. That had to be the race of your life so far, man.
It was a really great race for us. You know, I was really pleased with how the car ran and everything that happened. I'm just so honored, blessed to run for Fountain Motorsports this year in that ASA South Series.
So Dick didn't get on you too hard about not winning that one?
You know, I think we all wanted to win it. I was disappointed. I think the whole team might have been a little disappointed, but all in all, we were still happy inside. We both ran great. Chad finished second. I came back finishing sixth. And, it would have been a lot better, if I would have won the race personally. And I only had 21 laps to go, but that's just a racing incident.
Yeah, it was. So you led the first 79 laps, and that, I mean, it was tough because there were a few times where you got some space and were able to ride with a little bit of distance between yourself and the other cars. But most of that 79 laps, you had somebody right on your bumper all the time, most of the time.
Yeah, for me, I never really ran the Hoosiers in a long race like that, and it seemed to vary from, a different green flag run from a caution to this. And sometimes I would get some space. I really wouldn't have any pressure. I'd have five or six car lengths. And then other times I'd either have, Justin Larson or somebody else who ended up getting in second right on my tail. And, I never really looked in the mirror. I just kind of drove my line, Dick and my dad. And, they were telling me, just drive my line, don't worry about it. And that's what I did, and the car ran great. It was a really great, great car.
And a couple times you got tapped hard enough to get the car a little squirrely, and you held on, man. You did pretty good with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Was this your first ASA race, Blake?
That was my first ASA race, and that was my first time in a crate motor car.
So how did you like the crate motor deal?
I thought it was great. I learned in practice that you got to be very smooth with these crate motors, and you can't mess up and expect the motor to bring you right back. You got to be very smooth. It kind of reminded me of the old go-kart days where it was all about momentum and being smooth and hitting your marks just right. And I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was great. I'm really excited for the rest of the season.
So that means you're going to run more of the Southern Division?
Oh, yes, we're Fountain Motorsports. We're running the whole series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Blake's coming for the gold, man. He's not playing for second here.
Wow.
So, Blake, now, you haven't been on the O'Reilly ASA show before, I don't believe. And tell folks a little bit about your racing background, your career. I mean, you've raced super late models. Tell people about Blake Lear a little bit.
Well, I started racing when I was 8. In 1998, and I raced go-karts on dirt my whole life. And in 2005 was my last year in these go-karts. And I had 4 state titles, and I finished second in the nation on dirt. And my dad and I decided it was time to move up. So about 2006, we moved up into an open-wheel modified. And in 2007, last year was my first year in a super late model, and we finished 5th in the Sun Belt points down in Florida. And I still have my Super Late model now. I'm racing it at Dillon, South Carolina Saturday, and Gary and the Net Fountain came along and offered me to drive their ASA car this year, and I said yes right away. I knew it was going to be great for me, and I'm really really pleased to be driving in the series this year. And I told everybody else to watch out. I plan on winning these next couple races coming up.
There you go.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, being hooked up with Chad Pierce is a plus too. How did you and Chad meet, and how did all this teammate stuff come about?
Chad and I ran in the we competed against each other in the Sunbelt Series last year, and he was one of the first guys I ever met when I came into stock car racing, and he's been the same guy that I've ever met since the first time I met him. He's a really great guy. He's the same person every time you meet him. And, he's just the down-to-earth, nicest guy I've ever met. And, he's been Gary and Annette's driver for a couple years now. And Gary and Annette were looking at me, and they decided they wanted to start a second car. They wanted to have a teammate for Chad. luckily they chose me, and I'm just really happy because Chad and I would both agree that these Fountain Motorsports cars are just the best.
Well, is Rookie of the Year basically what you're going after, or are you actually wanting to step up and possibly win the championship in your rookie year?
Oh, I'm looking for the championship.
I told you, Terry, Blake ain't running for second, man. I wasn't kidding.
Well, he must know about
the championship. I couldn't expect anything less.
Let me tell you something.
These cars that I've been provided, that have been provided for us, are just unbelievable. So I'm going after the championship.
Yep. Blake is a confident young man, and that's what you have to be to compete out there, and not just for the sponsorship dollars, but to win on the track. And Blake, now you've been recently moved from Florida up to Charlotte in order to further your racing career. How has that gone so far, and has it been what you expected, or is it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we did make this move to Charlotte a couple months ago, and like your question was, has it been what I suspected? It's over what I've expected. You know, I'm loving every minute up here. You know, I'm working on my race cars. I'm working to further my career in racing, and that's all I want to do. And, you know, I think about it all the time, and that's everything. You know, people that I meet up here are so amazing, and they know so much about racing. Everything, if you need anything to know about racing, everything is here right in the area. And it's more than what I expected. I don't think I'm ever going to leave, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. You were sponsored last several years by the Orlando Predators, among others. And are you continuing that sponsorship?
Absolutely. The Orlando Predators have been so great to me, and I can't really thank them enough for what they've done to help my career. And you know, they really like what they've gotten back from me helping marketing them, and they are on both of these ASA cars, and they're on all the Fountain Motorsports cars now. Ron House is the owner of Orlando Predators, and he's such a great guy. He's a man. You know, he helps me out all the time, and you know, we introduced him to Gary Fountain, and he's agreed to be on all the Fountain Motorsports cars as well.
The Predators, of course, is a arena football team out of Orlando, Florida.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I still have them in my car up here, and then I also have Carolina Autosports, who helps me house my car up here, and they do a great deal for me, so they help me out a lot.
And now, you haven't raced at Sonoya, which is your next stop on the ASA Late Model Series Tour.
No, I haven't. I was looking at an aerial view of the track yesterday, and it looks like it's going to be really fun to drive for these type of cars. A lot of momentum. Looks like a big sweeping track, and I'm pretty excited about it. I plan on winning.
Yeah, it's from a fan's perspective, when that field gets going, it's something else. I'll tell you, because it's, man, these, you're going at it. There's no doubt. It's
I really enjoy tracks where it puts it more into the driver's hands instead of a car's perspective. You know, like the series, this ASA series, you know, they do all crate motors. All the motors are the same, and, you know, the cars are pretty much the same. And, you know, once they put another step on it, when they put a track in there that puts it more into the driver's hands, I just love it. That's great.
Yeah, that's what this ASA series is all about, I think. And also the cost of the motors. I mean, you could actually win enough money to buy more motors in this series, and it's very unusual to do in any other series. But Greg Stevens, being your motor builder, do you think he's listening right now?
I sure hope so.
Well, don't let him build your crate motor, though. And,
Terry,
you might have a problem with a crate motor.
Now, first, you're soaking tires.
Motor builder, the Progressive Racing Engines actually does our crate motors for the Fountain Motorsports cars, and I have every bit of faith in Greg for building my motors for my super late models. He really does a great job. He knows a lot.
That's cool.
Do you have a question, Jack? I had another question.
No, go ahead. I was just saying. I mean, you got David O'Dell in trouble over soaked tires. Now you're trying to get Learjet in trouble over motors, man. You got to knock it off.
I understand, but My question was, you have a super late model, and what's your schedule like this year, Blake? Are you going to, obviously you said you're going to do all the southern races, but have you got a schedule for your super two?
Absolutely. You know, my main focus is the ASA southern races, and, you know, I'm racing for Fountain Motorsports in those, and I'm racing in the Pass South series in my super late model. A couple of those races collide, but the ASA races are what my focus is on. And when the weekends that I'm not racing in the ASA car, I'm racing in the Pass South races.
Pass South
races. Have you raced any of those yet? You've raced one, right?
Yeah, I was at Hickory for the Easter Bunny 150, and we actually broke a shock mount in practice, and we didn't get to race. But
yeah.
I'm getting the car ready right now, and I'm planning on going to win in Dillon, South Carolina on Saturday.
All right, and Dillon. Yeah, that's cool.
That's a series I haven't heard of, Jack.
Yeah, Pass South is very big in the Carolina area, and as a matter of fact, over the next several weeks, we're going to be having some drivers on our Tuesday night Real Racing USA live show with Rick Angies. We're going to have some of the drivers on from that series.
Right.
Yeah, but
I really think it's a great series, personally.
Yeah. Now, what kind of motors are those?
I've been running my same motor that I ran down there. They have different rules to accommodate. You know, you just got to do a couple weight changes and everything. And
you're running the Progressive?
No, I have a Greg Stevens.
Oh, okay. Greg does all your stuff.
Greg does all my super late model stuff. He really does a great job. They've got a lot of power. I actually had a little too much power at Hickory.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine because that's a from what I understand, you don't need power there. You need something else.
That's right.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'll tell you what, Blake. We'll obviously we'll keep up with you throughout the year, and we'll be talking again with you real soon. And the best of luck in the rest of the year, and we'll see you at Sonoya.
All right, guys.
And I'll be calling you after the show to get Greg's number.
Absolutely, just give me a call.
Thanks, Blake.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Blake Lear.
Another young gun. Do you know how old he is, Jack?
He's just 18, and I'll tell you this.
18.
I'll tell you this. He just turned 18. I'll tell you this. Blake Lear is right, you know, he is one of the guys who youngsters that really, really understands the marketing game. And I don't think I've run across any of the youngsters who understands that game better than he does. He not only can play that game, he understands it. And that's a huge, you know as well as I do, that you know the real race to get up the ladder in racing, in stock car racing, the real race that you got to win is the race for sponsorship, dollars and support. And he's got two steps on most of his competitors in that game. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And his dad is right there with him, involved in that too. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back here in a few minutes.
Okay.
ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fastlane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome back to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, Terry. What we got cooking? What we got cooking now?
Well, we got Blake Lear's teammate on now, and he's a young gentleman that you know very well. I even mentioned to this gentleman that I used to watch his mom race all the time, and I mean, we talk about women race car drivers, and you know my view on that, but. His mom competed with the guys and whipped them a lot of times.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'll have some more on that later, but go ahead. Welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane Chat.
Thanks, man. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good, great. Man. Hey, we live in Florida. I mean, I do. Poor Terry.
Hush.
Yeah, the weather's nice. It's nice and, like, just warm enough, but cool down here. Still got a cool breeze blowing right now.
All right, man. You're an old timer now. You might be a rookie in this game, but you're an old timer in the game. So
I found out that I was like the fourth oldest guy in this game. And then the next one down from me is like 10 years younger than me.
So what? Tell us about your experience, man. What stands out?
What's that?
I said, what stands out? Tell us about your experiences. You know, we'll get into the details of the race in a little bit. What was the overall deal with this race? I mean, your first event in the ASA.
Well, being at Bronson, of course, you know, you got to start out easy. What we did when we started was we just kind of took our time and saved the car and saved the tires. But being at Bronson, as long as you miss the wrecks, I mean, you're good. So, I mean, pretty much we come home with just a scratch on the quarter panel and a scratch behind the right front tire, and that's about it. But what the most part is that, being our first race out, I guess, for me, would be Blake and I both showing up without – the cars were brand new and never turned a lap before we actually went to Bronson. Showed up with the help of Dick Anderson, Gary Fountain, and all those guys. We show up, and those cars right out of the box were pretty decent. I mean, Blake led 79 laps of that race, and pretty much we were chasing him the whole time, but we ended up getting up in the top five, you know, there towards the end, and about, you know, what was it, about lap, you know, 79, 80, Blake got spun out, and then he ended up getting sent to the back, but to fight back up through there and get back to sixth place, I mean, that was awesome. So we got a second and a sixth out of it. So for a first time out in a series that we'd never run, I rather enjoyed it. I mean, I like the fact that the motors are the same, and you know what I mean? The cars are pretty much the same. There's not a whole lot you can do with them, so the competition is just fierce out there. I mean,
it was fierce.
That's probably one of the best, most exciting races I've ever run. Like, every lap I was either passing somebody or getting passed. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, and for Bronson, that's really weird.
Yeah, we're usually playing follow the leader, you know, drafting each other on a quarter-mile track, or you usually have to hit somebody to get them out of the way. I mean, Justin Larson, me and him raced, I don't know, about between 6 and 10 laps together, and I don't think we ever touched each other. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just good racing.
And now here's the point, Terry. Here's Chad Pierce running side by side with Justin Larson. Okay, and Justin is out there. Any race he's in, he's going to try to win. I mean, he's not going to, you know, people can say what they want, but he's going to be aggressive as he needs to be to try to win the race. But here's the funny part. Both of these guys had mothers who were championship races. I pointed out to Patrick Starpoli, who's a young man, is finally getting to get going in the ASA, and I've watched Patrick grow up in the truck racing in Florida. We were getting ready to start the race, Chad. I pointed out to him, I said, see that lady over there? He says, yeah. I said, you know, that's Justin's mom. You know, you know, she was a race car driver. She was one of the best race car drivers at Sunshine. I said, not just one of the best women. She was one of the best drivers, period. He was, like, blown away. But here you got, you, both of you guys have moms who are really championship race car drivers at the local level.
You know, it's funny. I never even knew that.
Oh, yeah. Pam. Oh, man. Pam Larson was.
I never even knew that. I'm going to have to talk to him about that.
Absolutely.
That might be where him and I get it from. I don't know about his mom, but I sure did learn about a lot from my mom and dad, for sure. Everybody knows my mom is the race car driver, but what they don't know is my dad raced first. And he's, if you ever watch me race, you see the patient side of me, that's my mom. But if you ever see me get aggressive, that's my dad. My mom never did get aggressive. But my dad, I mean, he was no slouch behind the wheel either. I mean, I've seen him get out there. He used to run for Don Arone back at Orlando Speed World in mid-'80s. I mean, there'd be 70 cars out there. And they'd have to, the guy that won the week before started last. They pretty much inverted the whole field. So, I mean, it was a mess. It was like running in a duro.
Well,
Butch Pierce.
Wait a minute. I seen your mom run, too. And one night, I believe it was at Orlando Speed World, she was racing against a 56 car. I don't know who it would have been. And he like, bumped her out of the way once.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and he let him have it. I mean, took him out the next corner.
I think my mom's more aggressive in the pits than she is out on the racetrack. I've had to chase her across the pit area and over to somebody's trailer a couple times, you know what I mean? But I think more often than not, she was more patient out on the racetrack than both.
Well, she was a nervous wreck before, during, and after the race at Bronson. She said, she told me she was not a very good fan, and particularly with you in the race. Now,
I heard she fell out of the grandstand twice or something. you know, as bad as these great late model cars, they're not real loud. So I'm pretty sure I heard her screaming at me a couple times.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to run mufflers this year, Chad.
No, I don't have one on the car, but they just don't turn the RPM that the super late models do. That
right, right.
Yeah. So, now, what did you learn out of this deal? I mean, you started towards the, where'd you start, the mid-pack?
I started at 11th.
11th.
I'm terrible at qualifying. I am not a qualifier.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm more of a racer. Halfway on is where you'll see the speed out of me, but Gary Fountain and the boys are kicking me in the butt because in order to make, I mean, we were unfortunate not to have a bunch of cars at this race. I mean, last year I think they had close to 40. This year they had only 19. So we got lucky with that. But I think as the week goes on and we get used to it, I mean, I think, you know, as the year goes on, we get used to it, we'll get a lot better.
Yeah, there's some of these races where the qualifying is just really important because you got to be in that top, what, nine cars or whatever it is to get the... Yeah, to get the you know.
Well, I just want to mention this, Chad. Do you know the Southern, ASA Southern Division champion, you know what they get this year?
What do they get?
They get a 3,500 gold and diamond ring, championship ring.
Sweet. That's cool, actually. I mean,
I didn't even tell Blake that because I wanted to tell you first.
Oh, we'll see. I'm older than he is by 10 years, so, I mean, he'll just put that on the shelf, and it'll collect dust to him. Me, I'm winding down. I mean, I'm too old to be a serious race car driver, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
right.
These 18-year-old kids that run NASCAR and all this stuff, and, I mean, they consider me old, so that right there, I'll wear around and say, see what I got? No.
No, I don't think so.
28 years old and being called himself old.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, old Grizzly Wayne Morris. Now he ran the ASA last year, at least a good part of the Southern Division deal. This weekend, you know, that Grizzly old guy, he won two races at one track in two different divisions. He won in late models and sportsmen in Charlotte County. You believe that? As old as he is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so you're just getting into your prime, man.
Well, yeah, but when, as far as the NASCAR standpoint, we're not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got
they're
you.
They're looking younger than me. They're looking at I'm.
Well, that's true. some of them youngsters that they got up there, they might make them change their mind about this youth movement.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, but I don't know if you watched the race at Martinsville, but Jeff Burton was about ready to whip Michael McDowell's butt because he was in the way all the time.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the race at Bristol. I mean, at Martinsville. We've been pretty much working on our shop and on our cars and stuff like that. I pretty much don't get to watch races anymore with working at the shop and at Hollywood Studios down here in Orlando.
Is that now? Yeah, tell us what you do these days.
I used to work for the Richard Petty Driving Experience, and now I'm a stunt driver at Disney's Hollywood Studios down in Orlando.
Well, that's cool.
I pretty much do the stunt show down there with cars and, you know, two-wheeling them, spin them 540s, 360s, 180s, jumping them over semi-trucks, you know.
You were working
That's probably why I was all right at Boston, because it's about the same size as our state.
Wow. You were working at the Richard Petty Driving Experience a long time ago when me and Rick Angies and Robert Brown came up there to do a story on that thing. I remember that.
Yeah, I started there when I was 18, and I worked there up until 2004.
Yeah.
And then I jumped over to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. So how did you
probably get us free tickets to get in?
How did you get into the stunt deal?
They actually saw, this is ironic, because I was racing a modified for Donnie Lewis at Speed Weeks in 2003. I mean, the early of 2004, I'm sorry, February 2004. And for some reason, I was racing Donnie's modified, and I remember crashing with Alan Brun. And we didn't tear the car up, but we used them as a ramp. And the whole bottom of Donnie Lewis's car from oil pan to rear end had rubber on it. And we continued to race. I don't know how we did that night. That's the only thing I remember. But at the end of the night, the guys come up to me and said, "Hey, we got a stunt show going on. Would you like to try out for it?" So I was like, kind of ironic that we went through all that, all the wrecks and stuff. You know, Speed Weeks is usually a crash fest anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So we went through all that, and they ended up asking me to try. They asked me to try out for the stunt show, so that was pretty cool.
So what are you going to do the rest of the time this year? I mean, what racing are you going to do besides the ASA Southern Division?
Well, you know me. I jump from whatever cars at the racetrack. I think I ran every division last year except mini stock. I ran legend cars, super late model, sportsman, late model, modified. I ran it all. So pretty much Gary Fountain's got a good base for us. Like, on our off weekends, pretty much if the ASA cars aren't ready to go, I'm not going to go anywhere to do anything. But once they're ready, I got a truck I'm going to race. We got two super late models that we have here. We'll probably race some. Gary threatens me with putting me in his modified all the time. And then Goodyear cars. I got my own Goodyear car. Gary wants to play with those some. So we got a pretty full schedule. But our main concern is going to be on the ASA. And Saturday night was the most fun I'd had in a race car in a long time.
Because that's cool.
The competition, we were all racing good together. You're on a quarter-mile track. I saw some of these guys, they get all frustrated and mad. But you're on a quarter-mile track, there's not a whole lot you can do. You're going to run into the back of somebody. You're going to spin people out. You're going to get the bodies tore off of them. But there's not a whole lot of room out there to do anything else other than that, especially if you're trying to get to the front.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the most fun I had in a long time. The ASA series is awesome. I've always wanted to run it because it levels the playing field out. You don't have to have a ton of money to do it. You can, but you know what I'm saying? You can have a ton of money and invest in the cars and that, this, that, and the other. But if you're a low-budget racer, you can still build an average car, and as long as you got a good driver, you're going to do good.
Absolutely. Brandon Johnson is a perfect example of that last year.
Amen.
Right? Absolutely.
Amen. Him, Sean Bass.
Yep.
You know, those kids, I've watched them race forever. And you can just take your average everyday car, put it together, and go out there because of a crate motor. It makes it less expensive to run. And you can do well with that.
Yep, sure enough.
As long as you got a good driver and can keep his head on his shoulders, you're going to do well at every race.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Now, we're going to rely on you to tell us the real story because I'm not going to be able to go to Sonoy. I'm still looking on trying to get somebody to go up there and cover it for us. But we're going to rely on you to tell us the real story, Ben, because we know you're going to get the real story.
The real story. And my mom says I don't have a good filter, so I don't know if you want to hear it from me.
That's good.
I think, Chad, you have a future in broadcasting if you wanted it.
Oh boy! Yep. Isn't that what every retired race car driver does? I mean, look at Daryl Waltrip and all those guys. I mean, they're all up there commentating.
Yeah, exactly.
Darren.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we're going to be talking to you a lot more throughout the summer.
Yes, sir.
And
I hope so. I hope it's with a win here before too long. Either myself or Blake Lear. I mean, I got to say, you know, I'm glad Blake Lear is part of the team. He's a good kid. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like Blake Lear. He's just a nice kid.
He sure is. And, you know, when I first saw him, it was really funny. And I don't know if I've ever said this on the air or not, but I've said it many times. When I first saw Blake Lear at the track the very first time, you know, he was there with the cheerleaders and stuff, or the girls from the Predators, you know, and
yeah.
He was doing his thing, and I had this, I kind of got an attitude about it. It's like, how's this young kid got all this going on? You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I had a little bit of an attitude towards him. Just
15 years old and all this going on.
Yeah, and then when I talked to him, he was way too confident for a kid his age. I'll tell you what, over the last two or three years, I've really taken a liking to him. I think what he's doing is really good, and I think he's got a good head on his shoulder, and I can understand you wanting to work with him.
Oh, man, it's going to be a good learning experience for both of us. Blake has a lot of good qualities about him that I'd like to learn, you know, the marketing side. Also, he was fast all weekend. He was one of the top three guys every time he went out. I mean, the first time he went out on the track, I think he was like 6/1000ths of a second slower than Travis Cope. You know what I mean? And, I mean,
sure.
It was all weekend like that. And, I mean, to be that close to Travis Cope, as many laps as he has around there, I mean, Travis Cope's a good driver as well. I mean, just to go out there with a brand-new car, Blake's never been in anything like a ASA car with anything with less horsepower or anything like that. So, I mean, for him to go out there and be fast right off the bat, I just thought that was awesome. I was very proud of him.
Yeah.
Very proud to have him on the team on with Fountain Motorsports. Gary brought this up, I don't know, about, you know, 6 to 8 months ago about bringing Blake along, and ever since day one, I've been confident that he'd be a good driver and a good representative for Fountain Motorsports.
All right, man. Good enough. We'll talk to you soon, Chad. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We said hey.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
You got to have her on one time.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. It's coming. It's coming.
As soon as you win a race, Chad, he'll be the guest on the show with you.
Yeah, I think she'll be more exciting to watch than me, though, I can tell you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Chad.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Terry. That was, I'll tell you what, I said when we put some information around today, around the Internet, about tonight's guest, I said Chad Pierce, somebody, if you don't know him yet, the people in the Southern Division will know all about him before it's all over, because he's not going to just be there and you're going to notice Chad Pierce, no doubt about it.
I would predict, and I don't make predictions well, but I would predict Chad Pierce to either win the Southern Division or be second.
He'll be competing for it, there's no doubt. He's like you said, I mean, you know, he was talking about he could go out and race anything except the mini stocks last year.
Right.
And that's really true. You see Chad Pierce's name popping up in every class at Orlando, New Smyrna, and those fast car tracks. And this is going to be cool. It's good for the series that he's in it.
He reminds me of Kenny Schrader, who gets in anything and drives it.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll be right back with
Jimmy
Lang, the winner of the first ASA Southern Division race this year. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, you know, like I hate to say it, but I've been around forever, and I'm getting a different view on things than I had when I was wide open racing. But if all the racers would just understand that these racetracks, in order for us to keep them, they need your support. They need you when you the weeks that you're not racing. They need you to go watch the races. And I just see so many of the racers giving the racetracks a hard time instead of giving them the support that the racetracks need. And you just got to understand, without our support, we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. We go and try to fight against the racetrack, and in essence, you're fighting against yourself, because once that racetrack's gone, you've only hurt yourself.
Yep.
So I've got a lot of racetracks where I'm not nuts about the promoter, and I'm not nuts about who owns it, but I would still like to support it and it just you just get so it's, I just see the support dwindling away.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction.
Hello?
Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, welcome back to the final segment of this week's O'Reilly ASA Late Model Fast Lane Show, and we're going to run over tonight, and you know what? We can.
especially when you have great guests.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, that was, is you know, Chad Pierce said, that was the most fun and one of the best late model races he's been in 10 years or something, you know, and it was a fun time, and it was fun for nobody. Nobody had more fun that night than this race car driver, Jimmy Lang.
Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Yes, how you doing? Pleasure.
Yeah, would you agree, Jimmy? Nobody had more fun than you did?
No, they didn't. Not for, well, probably for about 80 laps anyway.
Jimmy, you took the lead, 8 laps to go?
No, it was, that's just when it got, I mean, it was really, really tough racing the whole race, but it really got down to the wire, you know, the last few laps, you know. We took the lead. I'm pretty sure we took the lead, like, with 3 to go, and then we got the caution come out. The cautions kept on coming out. That's the last thing a leader wants to see, is a caution.
Yeah, it was, I don't know what was going on there, but it seemed like Travis Cope couldn't get around the track without somebody hitting him or him, whatever was going on. I don't know what that was going on. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was involved in several of those, and there were some other people as well. A lot of cautions right there at the end that really had nothing to do with the with what was going on up front.
No, that was just a bad deal with Cope, you know. I mean, when Cope passed me, we went into 1 and 2, and he just leaned all over me, you know. There's no problem with that at all. That's racing on a short track. I mean, it's got to be like that. If it's not like that, then don't call it racing or something. I mean, that's got to happen. I mean, you cannot just be clean the whole race, you know, not touch nobody or nothing on a little track like that. It's just bound to happen.
All right, let's go back to now. I heard this story, and I want to see, it better be true because I've told a bunch of people about this. I heard this story. Tell us how you went on the walk around the track before the qualifying.
How what?
Did you go out on a walk around the track before qualifying? Did you walk the track?
Yeah, I walked it.
Tell us about that.
I think it was me and Jessica Murphy and a couple of my buddies. You know, Jessica Murphy, she races a lot out at New Smyrna with the, you know, the regular late models and stuff, and she's been around that track a lot. And, you know, me and her and a couple of my buddies just went walking around the track, you know, checking the track out, and she showed me a pretty good line to run that, you know, my spotter and my crew chief were telling me to run, like, you know, a lot of that practice, you know, and I didn't want to run it because the car didn't feel good down there. For some reason, it's like a tenth and a half or more faster down there on the bottom of 1 and 2, and she said, she's like, just trust me, you know, just put the car down here. And, I mean, I tried it, and we picked it up. I mean, we got a darn track record, you know. I was like, wow.
So what do you think of that, Terry?
Track record?
Yeah.
Yeah, we
broke
the track record by like 5/1000ths of a second. Not much, but we broke it.
Yeah.
And you, at first, didn't want to go down there, huh?
No, not really at first. It didn't feel like that was, like, the track. I mean, it's not how the track, it felt like it was shaped weird, you know. It's like when you went off into 1, the car shoved the nose a little,
it's like you had to dime in one and two, but obviously, you know, that's not it. And then earlier that day I was watching, I was like, man, Travis Cote, this is his track, you know, and he's running the bottom. So I started messing with it, you know, running the bottom, and I didn't like it. So I just got back on the top, and then Jessica told me, she's like, run that bottom. It's fast down there, and you can pass down there. If you can keep your car to turn down there, you'll be able to pass cars down there, and it's faster. Because a lot later on in the race, people's tires are getting wore out, you know, and they'll start shoving, getting a push, you know, and stuff, and you'll be able to turn right down under them.
Yeah, you know, we asked at the beginning of the show, Jimmy, we talked to David Odell. He was our first guest tonight, and he really still doesn't know what happened on that last lap.
What's that? Whenever he went off into one.
Yeah.
He went off into one, and I mean, I knew it. I knew when I was behind him, I can tell when I let off the gas, he kept going more. Like, it was a jump. I was like, oh, he done drove the corner too hard. And all of a sudden, he pushed, shoved the nose, I went under him, and I was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, somebody told us tonight, maybe it was David, that you didn't have you look like a demolition derby car when you won that race. Is that about right?
Yeah, well, the only reason that was, I mean, whenever we was behind the 97, I mean, I was like 6 inches. I mean, I was like really close to him. He broke a transmission, so all of a sudden, the 90 mile an hour, it's like it quits, you know? I mean, the transmission broke, and I just slammed into him because I was just so close racing, you know? It just, you can't react that fast. I mean, well, yeah, that's what tore the whole nose of the car up. It was tore up pretty good. And then then the 75, the 88, and me, they got the 88 went off in the corner as he was passing me, and like the 77 was right in front of me, and he drove off in there and just like, I guess he just, I don't know if David said about that or talked about it, when the 88 just hit him, and then we all got involved. It was like all three of us, the top three cars, just got involved with it. And I got into it a little bit. I barely missed it. I mean, I hit him a little, you know, when we was like all about to wreck in turn one, and I just barely squeezed through there.
Yeah, you know, Justin Larson in that 88 car, he had his axle was coming apart, the left rear.
Really?
Yeah, that was that's why he left and didn't come back after that little thing down there with a couple laps to go. After that incident, that's why he didn't come back on the track, because he sensed there was something wrong. I talked to him about it, and he said there was, he sensed there was something wrong with his car. He just didn't know what it was, and then that's what it turned out to be. I guess the axle was coming apart on the left rear there.
Really? That don't happen too often.
No, it was kind of strange. He described it more in the interview, technically. I didn't quite get it, but it was something there. They showed it to me over there in the pits too. But that's why he didn't come back. But it was, I'll tell you what, it was exciting for the people in the grandstands. There wasn't nobody sitting down. And after that race was over, man, people were like, their eyes were wide.
Yeah,
it was pretty.
Is that
cool.
One of the best races that you've been in, Jimmy?
That would be one of them. That would be, you know, one of the ASA. That's our first ASA race. Last year at Brunson, we rolled out a trailer Friday on practice day, and we was like third, second, fourth fastest, right in that area, and went out to qualified sixth, and they inverted, put us on the outside pole, and then we was running second most of the race. I mean, I couldn't quite, I mean, that at Brunson, if you don't get your nose under them a little bit, you have to like almost just barely rub them, I mean, just to upset their car just a little bit, that you can get that little advantage coming out of the corner. And last year, I mean, I didn't do it. I was about to, you know, I was about to get aggressive, but my spotter was like, no, you know, let's race them clean, you know, everything. And, I mean, then I got moved out of the way for third place, and then I got moved out of the way for fourth. I got moved out of the way because I didn't, you know, get aggressive with it and get up on the wheel. So this year, I got up on the wheel like I should have last year is what I should have done. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remembered that.
Yeah, it's really hard for the spotter to drive the car.
Exactly, yep.
Now, there was, you know, I know you guys had a bit of a party and whatnot after the races. Now, tell us about what else made this race very, very special for you, Jimmy.
Well, one of the main deals, one of my best friends, John Strowman, he got killed in a motorcycle accident about a week and a half, 2 weeks from today or something right around there. And he was actually supposed to be there. We knew
We went to school since kindergarten through like fourth grade, and then I moved schools, and like a couple years ago, we started hanging out, you know, again. I mean, we was pretty good friends. He was supposed to be at Bronson. Like, he called me, I think it was like a week before, you know, he got in that accident, and he told me he was going to call me at like Tuesday or Wednesday to let me, where I could let him know what hotel and everything we was going to stay at and the whole deal, you know, where he can meet us down there. And because he went to Lakeland with us, he was on the team at Lakeland, and we finished third down there. Yeah, that was just a real rough, you know, rough deal. Because he actually, when he was down here, when he was living with like around here, he actually worked for my dad on Hilton Head Island for Lang's Heating and Air. So I mean, it was like, you know, he was really cool. I always saw him when he got off work, like right when he got off work on the island, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, which we still at the race shop, which most of the time we were putting stuff together. He'd come straight out to the race shop and just start getting hands-on involved with the cars, you know. So that was a pretty big deal for me, because I couldn't even make his funeral, you know, because of Brunson. And I knew, you know, he'd most likely want me to go to Brunson and win it.
And you did.
And I did it. Yep.
Did you dedicate the race to him after the race, Jimmy?
Oh, definitely, man. I said it like with, I think it was five laps to go. We was running like second, you know. And I was like, you know, my brother was talking to me. My brother is actually my spotter and everything. But I was like, man, I'm going to win this race. I've got to win it. I done said for like a week now, I was going to win it for Josh. And, dude, it's got to happen. And next thing you know, 3 or 4 laps later, I was leading it, and we ended up winning it.
Yeah, there you go. That was exciting, too, no doubt.
That was awesome.
Yeah, cool. So your mom wasn't very happy about it all, was she?
What's that?
I said your mom wasn't very happy about it all, was she? She just took it in stride. She was, I'm joking with you, man. She was going crazy. She was so excited to see you and finally get that big win in the ASA.
Yeah, I know. I guess, what's today? Today the first, or was it yesterday the first?
Yesterday was the first.
Yeah, yesterday was the first, April Fool's Day. Well, I guess, I don't know if ASA did it or whatever, but on my message board on my website, it said top three from the race were disqualified, and my mom started flipping out. She called me, called my dad. And then, like, I think it was 5 minutes later, it said it was, you know, April Fool's or whatever on the bottom. So that was kind of, I mean, I was like, no, that can't be. There's, I mean, they still got our motor, you know, which I'm pretty sure they looked at our motor. I mean, our motor is definitely legal by all means, but they still got my motor. And that's why I was like, oh my God, I wonder if something was wrong or something in the motor that we didn't know.
Oh, that was good. Oh,
they got you, man. They got you.
I know Performance Concepts, I mean, they give me the strongest stuff out there. I mean, and it's legal. And Rusty Shaden, he's been hooking us up really good at the track here lately. Ever since he's been a part of the team coming to the tracks, I mean, we've been fast everywhere we went with Rusty and Steve. He's like the main guy that builds the motors for a car, and Steve's the guy that builds the motors, and Rusty is with us at the track with Performance Concepts.
That's cool. So now, how did you do last year at Sonoya? How did that work out for you?
Sonoya last year?
You remember?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think I finished like 12th or 14th. I'm not sure.
But you're familiar with that racetrack, and that's where you're going next, in the Southern Division anyway.
Yep, we ran there probably 3 or 4 times, and I raced there probably a handful of times, 5, 6 times with the Legend cars too. So
yeah,
we should do really good there. And you know, Rusty's going to be there with us. I'm sure we'll hit on it really quick.
Now, what else are you doing this year besides the ASA Southern Division?
We're going to run all of ASA Southern, and we're going to run all the challenge races. We just got a third car, so we're going to be, you know, working every day, 8 to 6, 7 o'clock in the afternoon to. We get the cars done, and whenever we got 2 weeks off now, when we get the race cars ready, we're going to start building on the other car. I mean, we just got a Port City rolling chassis with a body on it right now. We got to wire it. We got to the motor, do all the inside of the car, the seat. I mean, you know, the whole deal. Whenever we get time, that's what we're going to gradually work on. That's mainly going to be our challenge car. The new one we got is going to be the challenge car.
All right. And now you're getting used to doing these interviews now, right? On the radio shows and stuff?
Yeah, I'm getting the hang of it now.
There you go.
Start running up front. Me and my dad was just talking earlier, and I was like, Dad, this is not even the beginning of the media, you know?
That's right, Jimmy. Yeah.
Not even started yet.
Yeah, well, we'll wear you out. We'll keep you informed, brother.
We'll keep you informed.
Yes, sir.
All right. You'll be on our show quite often, man. And, of course, you're welcome. Anytime you got some big news, you just let us know. And don't worry about it, man. It's just, you know, you do really well with all this stuff. And, you know, you don't have to worry about it at all. You do good.
Cool deal. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Jimmy. And we're looking forward to next time.
Oh, yes, sir. I am, too.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy.
We'll see you later, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Jimmy Lang, winner of the Bronson Motor Speedway ASA opening race in the Southern Division. The first volley was cast. I'm telling you, Terry, it was so exciting. Every time I talk to these guys, I just remember, you know, it was like, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was one of them crazy races. But now in the Toledo Speedway coming up April 11th and 12th.
Right.
That's the Northern Division kicks things off.
Yeah, at the old Toledo Speedway. I think that's the almost as old as we are.
Yeah, I guess they're going to be also running the U.S. Pro Cup series there.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, all right. So okay. It was a great thing we got these guys on, these kids, and the old man, Chad Pierce, of course.
That's so 20 years old, and he's old.
That's so funny. That is so funny. This has been the O'Reilly ASA Late Model Fast Lane Show for this week, and if you only caught part of it, you can catch the whole thing and all the interviews and all the other shows that we do on Real Racing USA in our archives, realracingusa.com. For myself, Jack Smith, Terry Wall, say good night.
Good night, Terry Wall. Good night, Jack.
Yeah, see you later. See if we can get the things all fired up here and say good night. We'll see you later.
Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
You've been listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll see you next time. Same time, same channel.